Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. You can find all of my work posted on Twitter at Dalton_Trigg. I post all of my work on DallasBasketball.com there. I have a whole lot of other serious and non-serious Mavs content that I post there as well daily. I'm joined again by my DallasBasketball.com colleague, Grant Afseth. You can find him on Twitter at Grant Afseth. It's spelled just like how it sounds. He does a bunch of great work for us. DallasBasketball.com. I call him the machine because, I mean, he writes, so, like, I think he wrote 30 articles in 1 week here recently. So he's unbelievable. I don't know how he does it, but we're glad to have him. And today we have a special guest, a return guest. It's been a minute since he's joined us, but it's Ben Collins. He's a senior reporter for NBC News. But more importantly, he is a Mavs fan for life too. He keeps up with the team, and I'm sure he is very happy about what transpired in game two of the Mavs series against the Utah Jazz. Ben, what's up, man? How's it going? It's been a while.
Dude, I'm still riding the wave. It's been like 12 hours, right?
Yeah.
Haven't slept. Just completely adrenalized from 12 hours ago. No, this is the best, dude. This is so good. We're in such good shape. I know you guys will be slightly more analytical than me on this one. But it's exactly what Dalton was talking about. It was just like, you know, this is JB's moment to step up. He's going to be able to do it. He's going to be able to get that bag this week. I was skeptical. I thought, I thought JB on a switch with Rudy Gobert would be a huge nightmare and a disaster. And it's not what happened. What a game. What a performance. And Jalen Brunson, I think, just made himself probably another like $25 million last night. So good for him.
Definitely. I mean, he was... I knew he would step up with Luka being out, but for him to take it up to the level he did last night, like, I was just in awe watching what he was doing. That was an all-timer, you know, performance from Jalen Brunson for a shorthanded Mavs team to go out there and score. I know it was technically his playoff career high, but it was really, you know, a career high overall. He's never scored that many points in the NBA. So overall career high, 15 of 25 from the field, 6 of 10 from three. You know, he's always been a good three-point shooter. He just, for whatever reasons, he's always been a little bit hesitant to let it fly. And, you know, my guy Kirk Henderson over at Mavs Moneyball, he's been talking about, you know, throughout the entire season, like, hey, you need to shoot it more. And you know, we saw why in game two. I mean, he just completely obliterated the Jazz, you know, driving to the rim, using his bowling ball type body, you know, to throw people off and get easy floaters and stuff of that nature. So he was absolutely incredible. Maxi Kleber, a career high, made 8 threes. He was 8 of 11 shooting threes. And, you know, the last 2 months of the regular season, he shot 24% from deep. So that was just like an unreal performance for him. Huge confidence booster for these guys heading to Utah. You know, whether Luka plays in game three or not. You know, they should have won game one, you know. if they hadn't missed 14 wide open three pointers, if they had just made like two or three more of those, and you know, not missed as many free throws as they did in game one, we could really be sitting here looking at the Luka Doncic-less Mavs being up 2-0 heading to Utah. But alas, it's 1-1. Like you said, they are in good shape. The vibes are immaculate right now. But Grant, I want to swing it over to you real quick. I mean, what was your biggest takeaway from what we witnessed last night?
I think my biggest takeaway was just how many more options open up offensively when they fully space out with lineups that don't have a non-shooting threat like Josh Green, and trying to make like just dribbling around kind of in space reduces a lot of the great things that they kind of had in the fourth quarter. I think, you know, just how hot Maxi Kleber was too. I think 8 of 11 exceeds the most optimistic of hopes I think a lot of people could have had for, you know, with how he was shooting after the All-Star break. So I think just seeing the volume of threes that they got up, spacing out with their lineups and, you know, getting by the on-ball defenders the Jazz had and making them pick their poison was definitely an intriguing thing.
The thing I like, too, is, like, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie, he didn't have a great shooting night, although, you know, I don't know if you guys watched his entire post-game press conference, but it was pretty funny because he he spent, like, 5 minutes going through, you know, tallying up what his stats would have been if he had gotten the calls that he believed he should have gotten. Like, at the end of the first half, he got hacked on the arm on a half-court shot, and it wasn't called, and he was just like, look, I don't care if it's a half-court heave or what, you can't do that. So he thought he should have, you know, gotten some more free throws, and it would have taken away from some of his misses on the box score. But, you know, he still ended up with 17 points. He made some big plays down the stretch, whether it was, you know, making a floater-type basket close to the rim that was big, or, you know, passing it to Maxi, who was wide open in the corner, you know, stuff like that. He still made some big plays. And it was nice to see the Mavs, you know, they don't have to have guys just – they don't have to have everybody shooting lights out like Jalen Brunson and Maxi Kleber did last night. You can have guys like Dinwiddie who don't have their A game on, so to speak, as far as shooting or stuff of that nature, and they can still get a win even without Luka. So very encouraging stuff. I mean, like you mentioned, Grant, you really can't – I think they do need to get away from, you know, playing Josh Green in this series. And look, I'm a huge Josh Green fan. I mean, I've been a fan of his since day one. I believe in his potential. I just think it's going to, you know, take a while, you know, for him to really get to where he needs to be. He's got to work on that shot and be more consistent with it. And he was in the regular season. He fixed that. But he's just the moment is just too big for Josh Green right now.
I think, by the way, Dalton, that, you know, there was that one possession he was in the fourth quarter, and he was instantly subbed out because he looked so out of place. Like, he dribbled the ball like 14 feet away from himself and like collected it and shot this like weird jump shot. I think Kidd was like, all right, that's enough. We can't do this anymore. And that's okay, by the way. There's going to be a series where he comes into play where, you know, going five out isn't the most important thing. But right now, I do want to say, like, I've been incredibly impressed by, like, alt Mavs media, like Iztok Franco and all these people who have outlined exactly how to win this series, and they were exactly right, which is you have to go small, you have to go five out. Tim Cato as well said this. You guys have said this. Kirk has said this as well. You have to go small, go five out, and hope Maxi hits jump shots. Or you have to hope that Bertans can play the five, which I don't really know if that's possible, and that Finney Smith can hold his own as the center of his zone. That has held up. If they are hitting shots, if Maxi's hitting shots in the corner, it allows for penetrate and dish basketball. And if you're not getting those calls, if Dinwiddie's not getting the calls when he's going to the line, when he's going to the into the paint, if Brunson isn't either, which by the way was not happening in the first half, he was not really getting calls. He got 41 the hard way. If that's what's happening, then you're in very good shape if you can hit corner threes. And Maxey was hitting corner threes last night. That's the difference. So I just want to say you guys have done outstanding work in outlining this, better than the Jazz scouting department, certainly, because they didn't see what was coming here in the second half, where JB would go off, like really attack the paint, second half, really try to open it up and kick it out to shooters.
Well, I do. I mean, we definitely appreciate that. And I mean, look, Mavs media is as strong as it has ever been. You know, as the Luka, as the legend of Luka grows and this team grows, and, you know, it's now his fourth year and it's only going to get better from here. It seems like, you know, all of the quality of work surrounding this team is getting better as time goes on too. But, you know, it's one of those things. This is where the Gobert conundrum comes into play, because as good as he is defensively, he's not going to come all the way out to the perimeter. It's just not going to happen. He's going to stay in that. He's either going to stay in the paint, or he's going to stay in that, you know, that middle area where he's like putting one foot in and coming back out. He's not going to go all the way out to the 3-point line. And maybe that change, you know, maybe they try and make him do that as an adjustment in games, you know, 3 and 4, depending on how things go. But I mean, what they're doing right now isn't going to work. And you have to wonder how nervous the Jazz are right now, because their team is fully healthy. Even last night, you know, Donovan Mitchell, he got his numbers. Bogdanovich continued to make hilariously difficult shots. He's just been on point the entire series, and he's annoyed the hell out of me because I wanted him in 2019, but apparently the Mavs thought he was not worth $20 million a year, which now looks ridiculous. But, you know, he's been on point. And they're getting – this is two straight games where they're getting these wide-open shots. And they simply just missed too many in game one. They made them in game two, and that was the biggest difference. And so, you know, now that a guy like Kleba has his confidence back in a big way, and Jalen Brunson, you know, Donovan Mitchell is like a swinging door on – or he was at least last night. He was like a swinging door on defense. You know, I just feel like whether Luka plays or not, now you've given this team the ultimate confidence. And the Mavs have only won one game in Utah in the last 6 years. It was, let me see, April of 2016, the last time the Mavs won in Utah. I'm sorry. No, it was in 2020. It was like January 2020 is the last time that the Mavs won in Utah. And Luka wasn't a part of that. Tim Hardaway Jr. went off for 27 points, and Boban had 9 rebounds, and they led to a win there. But, you know, the Mavs haven't won in Utah with Luka playing in his career yet. So if Luka does come back, they're going to have to do something that they haven't done so far in his career.
Definitely, though. Do you get the vibe that Utah – this isn't the most important thing on earth, but it is pretty important. They do not like each other. That is not a team of basketball players that are like excited to play together. Dallas is, and that is absolutely clear. And you definitely get the vibe that Dallas is like, oh, if Luka comes back, we're in very good shape. Like that's the sort of thing. The shock region is a lot easier. All of this talk about where does Rudy go on a switch and all this stuff, it invalidates all of these other larger conversations when the game is a lot harder, when your lead guards are, you know, 6'1 or 6'3 and not, you know, 260 pounds like Luka is, whatever he is now. So that was a little mean to Luka. He's probably not 260, by the way. apologize. But it seems to me like the vibe of this series from both sides is like, if Luka was playing, this would be over with. And then he might be playing on game three. I think that's the vibe you get from Jazz fans. That's definitely the vibe you get from Mavs fans.
Well, listen, we've had people in the national media, and Grant, I'll swing this back over to you after I say this, but we've had people in the national media. I think Nick Wright was one of them, which, you know, I mean, he says stuff all the time. He's a big Luka fan himself, so his opinion is slightly skewed. But, you know, even he said, you know, the Mavs could be down 0-2 going to Utah, and if Luka returns in game three, he still thought that the Mavs were going to win the series. And, you know, that I don't know if that's just his ultimate confidence in Luka or if that's how down he is on the Jazz. But, I mean, there's been a lot of people I've seen that kind of have that same sentiment. And I mean, so now going back to Utah, it's 1-1. They survived the first two games. They got the split without him. If he does come back and he's fully healthy, then you have to think that, you know, this series could end sooner than what people think. But Grant, I just want to get your thoughts on it, because I mean, what's going to change when Luka comes back? Do you think that it's going to be like an instant upgrade? Because it almost sounds blasphemous to say it wouldn't be, but you know, Jalen Brunson, he had a 41-point performance with zero turnovers. First time that has ever happened in Mavs history ever, or playoff history at least. And Luka, you know, he tends to turn the ball over a little bit more. So, like, from a dynamic standpoint, how do you see things changing if he can come back from for game three, and how it could change the rest of this series?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, sorry. I think it would definitely change things in the standpoint that if you think about kind of how Utah was approaching like things like ball screens for Jalen Brunson, like in game one, they went under more. And in game two, he was hitting pull-up threes pretty early in the game, and then that became less of a strategy used, and he was able to get in the gap and kind of create just more pick and poison situations for the Jazz defense. And you know, my whole point being is that Spencer Dinwiddie doesn't necessarily create those opportunities, since he hasn't taken too many pull-up threes and made them so far in the series. So if you are kind of running more opportunities like to initiate offense with Luka Doncic, with his you know, like perimeter shooting threat, I think it makes it a lot harder for Utah to have to account for multiple guards on the floor that can kind of create that type of pressure and command that kind of respect. And I think, you know, with the Mavs finding success kind of spacing out with Kleba, you know, with those corner threes that we talked about earlier, having to account for two guards that that you have to go over against or you get made to pay, and also have to account for, you know, all those shooters, I think would definitely change kind of the dynamic of how you guard the Mavericks offense for sure.
And I think it's like, you know, you look at how Dinwiddie started off last game. He looked, you know, very out of sorts. He looked kind of nervous, you know, turned the ball over a few times, was kind of loose with his dribble, all that stuff. Now, he made some good plays throughout the night and ended up with a decent stat line and played a decent role in that win. But you have to figure if you know if Dinwiddie is struggling like that, and you can take some of his minutes and, you know, shift him over to Luka if he comes back completely healthy, that, I mean, you think him and Brunson on the court together would definitely make a huge difference. So I don't want to say that if Luka comes back that this series is going to end in five, because I feel like that might be, you know, me having my Homer hat on a little bit.
I'll say it. Let's go. Whoever comes down, the series over and about. I really do believe that. I think the Jazz are waiting to fold, and I think that this is a team that I love. The Dallas Mavericks. We are the great. We're wonderful. I love watching them play. This team should not be in this series without Luka. It should not happen. I think it's kind of a perfect storm where the Jazz have a lot of internal dysfunction. They are they're bad on defense, which is so weird considering they have Rudy Gobert.
And it's so sorry to cut you off real quick. Before you keep going, Ben, I want to just say this and then you can keep on with your point. But it's so funny to me because it's so obvious to everybody that they do have dysfunction, and they, you know, they really deep down, they don't really like each other, and they've been saying all the right things in the media after, you know, in the last couple of weeks of the season. And they got a couple of wins, you know, they weren't great wins, but they got like a win in overtime against the Ja Morantless Memphis Grizzlies team. And, you know, they've tried to like patch this thing up and present it as, oh, we're fine, we're going to get over the hump this time. But it's like no matter what they say or what they do, you do kind of get the feeling that this is kind of nearing its end.
Yeah, you get the vibe of a frustrated basketball team that like doesn't communicate well on defense. I think that's a big thing with like the Mavericks will challenge each other and yell at each other if they miss rotations and don't get over switches in time. It's just they're on eggshells clearly in Utah, and it's weird. They have the best big defender in the NBA, and they can't really make the kind of stops they need to make. Their offense is still really good, and they still have a couple of guys who can like create shots out of thin air. Bogdanović and Mitchell are just outstanding at, you know, working through broken plays and ISO ball. So it kind of covers up the fact that their offense is also out of sorts, but I don't think that sustains when you were playing against a potential top 10 player of all time. If he comes back, even if he's at 75%, I don't think you can patch that up enough to win really any game. That's why, like, if he comes back, I do think that the Mavericks will sweep them from here on out.
And again, I mean, it's not like, you know, Donovan Mitchell, I Grant, you probably know what his shooting stats were for last night. I know he was 10 of 29 in game one. I'm not exactly sure what he shot last night, but you know, it's not like some of these guys aren't getting their numbers. Like I mentioned earlier, Mitchell's getting his points. Bogdanović is just destroying the Mavs in every part of the, you know, especially with his post game, and he's shown he can pass out of the post, and he's just hitting some of the craziest, you know, the Mavs are defending him well on some of these turnarounds in the post, and he's just unbothered by it. So he's had a great first two games, and yet the Mavs are still coming into Utah with a 1-1 split. And you have to figure that at some point, you know, these guys aren't going to put up these numbers, you know, consistently for the rest of the series. Like, am I right to feel that way, Grant? I mean, I know you're very familiar with Bojan Bogdanović from his Pacers days, but I mean, can he keep this going for a 7-game series?
I think the short range stuff and like kind of playing out of the post, I wouldn't expect him to convert at that high of a clip. Because it seems like almost every time he's getting downhill, like you haven't seen like him just miss it off the back of the rim and it flies away. It's just tough to think he can get that tightly contested and just keep knocking him down. But one thing that I do think will kind of be interesting for like game three is like the ball screen offense with Donovan Mitchell. Like I was just looking at some of these stats since you were bringing them up. About his numbers, he's 4 of 20 on shot attempts derived from pick and roll ball handling sequences so far in the series. Like that, like some of these numbers have been pretty crazy so far.
Yeah, he's pretty been, rough.
Yeah, every bit of success that I've seen from him has come either on the break, which he's incredible at. Like he's very, very good at getting out ahead of people because he's one of the fastest players in the NBA, especially as a two, but also broken plays, weird ISOs, you know, stuff where people get out of his way in general, and he takes a step back three or he just crosses people up. I've noticed that too. It doesn't, the offense is janky. And which is weird because they have a very highly rated offense. And I think slowing the game down for them has hurt them. I really do. It's one of the rare times where being dead last in pace in like the last 5 years or something has been extraordinarily helpful to Dallas.
Well, and another, I'm going to shift it over to this now too, because we briefly talked about Josh Green and, you know, how the moment seems like it's too big for him. And look, I mean, I get it. They're having to play Dorian Finney-Smith, and shout out to Dorian too. He didn't have a great offensive game, but he hit two huge three-pointers in the fourth quarter and played excellent defense as he usually does. But, you know, they're playing Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock like 44 or 45 minutes per game so far in the series. And with Luka out, with Tim Hardaway Jr. out, you know, they really just don't have any other wing options to throw out there other than Josh Green. So, and I mean, he plays good defense most of the time, but you know, if the offense is going to be as detrimental as what we've seen in these first two games, he just can't really, I just don't think they can afford to keep him out there. So I guess my question to both of you, I guess we'll start with Grant here, but I mean, what's a move that Jason Kidd can do other than just, you know, extending these already extended minutes further to make it to where he doesn't have to play Josh Green? Because we saw last night, you know, maybe is Trey Burke an option? I mean, you go super small if you do that, but, you know, he hit a three last night, and I mean, he's got experience, and we've seen what he can do in the bubble playoffs a few years ago. So, I mean, is that an option, or where does Jason Kidd go if these struggles with Green continue?
Yeah, I do think I have more confidence. Like, it's kind of a tough set of circumstances to pick, because Trey Burke will get probably targeted on defense, but I feel more confident that the Mavs defense can overcome that than the Mavs offense overcoming Josh Green not being guarded by Rudy Gobert and kind of just dribbling into space and not really even looking at the rim whenever he does get the ball in his hands. So I think I think you probably are either looking at that, or you have to trust Davis Bertans more on the floor, and he also can get targeted as well, as he has already too. So it's not really the best of options. That's definitely one of the things with not having Luka that makes it tough, is that you're not only just losing the skill of Luka and everything that he brings, but you're losing another like big guard that allows you to play like a three guard lineup with Dinwiddie and Brunson, and just like have different combos where you raise the floor of those groups without having to play like a guy like Trey Burke or Josh Green for sure.
I mean, ideally I would like it to be a situation where, you know, if Jason Kidd does decide to give him, continue to give Green some minutes going into game three, I would love nothing more than for Green to just have like, I don't want to say a breakout game, but you know, if he could just hit a couple of threes, get his confidence back up. Cause I mean, he looks like a deer in the headlights right now. I'd love nothing more for him to, you know, to come out and do something that shows, hey, I can be valuable in this series, not just on defense, but on offense too. And they roll with that. But you know, I agree. I think that's their options are limited with Luka out, but I do like what I saw from Trey Burke last night, and I think he could be, you know, the better option going forward. And look, we've seen Trey Burke. I mean, he's not a good defender by any means, but you know, we've seen at times when he's focused, like with Steph Curry earlier this season, you know, when he focuses and he gets down in a stance and everything, he can play good defense when he wants to. So I think, like you said, Grant, the way the rest of the Mavs defense plays, I think even if he's not on his A game there, that they could make up for it. But another thing I wanted to touch on, and I'll swing it over to you again, Ben. But you know, we talked a little bit about Dinwiddie earlier and how he didn't have his best game in game two. I mean, he hasn't shot the ball well in either game, but you know, he still got 17 points and he made some good plays down the stretch. And one thing specifically that I like with Dinwiddie is when he gets the switches with Gobert, and he brings Gobert out just enough to where he can get that quick first step on him, and he gets to the rim and finishes. And I don't think the Mavs have ever had somebody that has been able to do that except for Dinwiddie. It seems like every time before Dinwiddie, when somebody would try to drive on Gobert, like literally everybody gets blocked. Even Luka has trouble finishing at the rim against Gobert. So that has been one really encouraging sign when he gets those switches. And I've seen it at least, you know, four or five times in these first two games overall where he's been able to do that. So, I mean, do y'all think that's something that's sustainable going forward? Or
yeah, that's Dalton. That's what we talked about all offseason was, you know, secondary ball handler who can do exactly that, right? Play breaks down. What do we got other than Luka? And that's exactly what Dinwiddie is. And I think that the other thing that is underrated about Dinwiddie is it's not like Trey Burke where you put him out there and he gets picked on constantly. And, you know, they're going to get a switch on Bogdanovic and he's going to shoot over him or whatever. It's not like that with him. He's 6'4", 6'5". He can hold his own on defense. He's actually pretty good at reading passing lanes, which is an underrated thing, especially when they're in the zone. He's good at getting his hand in the cookie jar a little bit. He's a generally good, like solid, okay, and upright defender. He's a good player. You can get away with him at the two pretty easily, even next to Jalen, and still have the ability to create off the dribble with him. And that's, you're right, by the way, with Gobert, a couple of times he would get that switch. And I think Gobert would have just kind of assumed that he would try to shoot over him because Gobert is horrifying. Everybody else seems to pull the ball back out when they drive on him, but he still just goes right by him. Dinwiddie can shoot over these guys and chooses not to. It's really, really helpful. He's been, honest to God, look, he has not had this sort of playoff series that mirrors the end of his season where he's shooting like 50, 40, 90 and, hitting shots at the end of the game and all this stuff. It's a whole, that's ridiculous. And I don't think that's sustainable. But he's done enough while struggling, especially with his shot and the free throw line and while just generally looking nervous, to keep the team in the game by just being available as a second ball handler. That's all we were asking for years, Dalton. Now we kind of have it.
Yeah, and I don't want to do a drive-by on KP or anything, but, like, he's already done more in these first two games than KP did in the entire series against the Clippers last postseason.
KP's a whole different – I don't know what the series looks like with KP, but I don't know if we're, like, extremely optimistic, even if it's 1-1 with Luka out like this, because – like I said, the vibe shift was so substantial after that trade. So, and also there is no, as we all know with KP, God, I don't want to go back into this whole thing, but like, you know, the compulsory touches that KP had and all these things that we had to do to feed him in the post and all this stuff, it just would have been a nightmare against Gobert. And I'm glad that's not what we have to see. Like, I would rather struggle going five out and having to, you know, play Bertans and, Finney Smith the five then have to deal with whatever mess that would have been playing KP 38 minutes.
Well, all I know is, you know, I made a joke on Twitter last night that, you know, it's almost like I had to play role reversal with my guy Kirk Henderson. You know, I was being kind of pessimistic in the first half because it kind of felt like inevitable dread was coming our way with how the Mavs were playing and defending the Jazz at the time. And, you know, he came back and said that, no, the Mavs are definitely going to win. And, you know, they ended up winning. And, you know, maybe I need to be more pessimistic going forward than I am on a regular basis. But, you know, after what happened last night with the way Jalen Brunson played, Maxi Kleber rediscovering his shot for the first time in forever, you know, all of this stuff and Luka potentially making a return in game three, we still don't know anything, you know, for sure on that. But, you know, if it was a grade one strain, then he should have a very good chance of coming back in game three. We don't know if it was a grade one strain because the Mavs are so vague with all of their injury updates that they give. But, you know, if that's the case and, you know, you look at him getting some work in pregame and in these practices and he's doing more and more every day, and game three is on Thursday. So he's got today, tomorrow, and all day Thursday until the game, he could potentially come back in game three. And if not, you know, the world's not ending because they got the split in these first two games. So I'm very optimistic. I think the Mavs have a very good chance of winning this series. And I'm glad they finally went out there and proved that they can win. You know, they've proved this season they can win without Luka. They were 8-9 in the regular season without him. But everybody was just kind of like, yeah, we'll believe it when we see it, when it came to the playoffs, if they can win without Luka. And they finally proved it. And we knew they could do it, but they had to go out there and prove it last night, and they did. So I'm very happy about it. Grant, Ben, I appreciate y'all joining me today. It was very fun. We'll have to do it again sometime. But, Ben, you got anything else for us before we head off here?
Keep it up, guys. I think you guys are personally providing exactly what we need to do as a basketball team to win games without Luka. It feels like you guys are like open sourcing winning this Jazz series. So please keep doing it. Keep doing what you do. Let's go Mavs.
Well, I appreciate it, Ben. And again, you can follow Ben. He's a senior reporter for NBC News. He's at 1_ spelled out. And I think it's 2. You'll have to explain your Twitter handle. It's very confusing.
It's the words 1_ spelled out with 2 underscores after it. Look, it was a joke 5 years ago that I'm over it. Let's put it that way.
Hey, once you stick with something and you end up making that climb, you can't change it at that point. So yeah, I feel you there. Grant, anything else before we take off?
Just that, you know, we'll have a lot of content before game 3 with, you know, another in-depth breakdown about game 2 and, like, what could be taken away from that, and then you know, all of our other content as well. Definitely a lot of stuff coming.
Yeah, and like I said, look, I know there is a ton of great Mavs content out there, but I mean, I know I'm a little bit biased because, you know, Grant is working with me at DallasBasketball.com, but I truly believe that there is no better video breakdown of these Mavs games than what he puts out at DallasBasketball.com. It's the most extensive, in-depth look at what the Mavs are doing in each and every game, and y'all need to go check it out if you haven't already. So more stuff coming there. This will be out as a regular pod later today. Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. If you leave us a review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, it automatically enters you for a chance to potentially win some Mavs tickets. We do tickets giveaways every now and then, and that's a way to throw your name in the hat for every future giveaway. So be sure to do that. Guys, we appreciate it. Hope you have a great rest of the week. We will probably either see you Thursday night or sometime Friday morning or around noon. We'll see you next time. Y'all have a good one.